Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may be seated. I don't know if you have noticed, but I've noticed. I have a red wave in front of me. In today's gospel, we see an angry Jesus. And it is rather refreshing, since we are so used to thinking of Jesus as gentle, as being meek and mild, as the old hymn describes him. Why did Jesus get so angry? What was happening? It will help us to answer this question if we remember the purpose of temples. The purpose of the temple around the world, no matter what faith or creed has erected them, is to provide a means and a place where people may come into contact with God and experience His grace and His love. Temples are places where people go to give thanks to God for all He has done and to ask for forgiveness for their sins. And they are places where they go to hear God's word and receive guidance for their lives. The temple in Jerusalem was no different. It was built to be a place where the faithful could go to encounter God. It was built for their sake as a special place for them to go to hear His word and to experience His grace and forgiveness and to reflect upon His love and goodness. The temple represented God's presence, His availability to all who saw Him, and His love for all who called upon Him. Yet something happened to this good place. Something happened to turn it into a place where it became difficult to hear God and experience His goodness. You will recall the temple was a place where, in accordance with the law of God, people offered sacrifices. The sacrifice was and is an important component of the life of faith. Sacrifice reveals the depth of our sincerity. It shows that we put God and what He asks of us ahead of our own prosperity, indeed ahead of our own needs. The law of Moses stated what kinds of sacrifices should be made at the temple. And as we know, before Christ, some of those sacrifices, but by no means all of them, involved the killing of animals. A part of the flesh of the animals sacrificed would be offered only to God. Other parts would be given to the priests to support them and to provide resources for the poor and needy in the community. Often, religious duty required that you bring a young male sheep or a kid or a pair of pigeons to the temple, where it would then be sacrificed by the priest for you. In the old rural days, this had been fairly easy to do. People had sheep or goats or pigeons right at home on the farm. But in Jesus' day, as in our city, people didn't keep those kind of animals hanging around the apartment. So when you went to the temple to make your sacrifice, the temple authorities made it easy for you by having sacrificial animals for sale right there on the premises. The only catch being that you had to use temple coins to make the purchase. Caesar's coins were not allowed, and there was an exchange. If you didn't have temple currency to purchase, well, they provided a place. And also, the outer court, just outside the small service that the temple has already provided to make things easier for you, was a market of changing money and buying animals. The temple of Herod was your up-to-date, full-service temple. Your salvation, of course, for your easy access to God. But one look at the money markets in today's world, and it doesn't take much to imagination to visualize what ended up happening in the temple courtyard at the time of Jesus. The gospel reading today tells us Jesus walks into this environment, this up-to-date full-service temple, and he sees the people selling the cattle and the sheep and the birds. He sees the money changers at their counters with their constantly changing rates of exchange. He hears the noise and the shouting and the bargaining and the bragging and the bleating and the cooing, and he smells the sweat and the dung of the nervous animals. He sees and hears and smells all these things that are there for the sake of the salvation of God's people, and he becomes tremendously angry. And he takes some cord, probably his belt, and he lashes out with it. He flails at the merchants and money changers, tossing over their tables and flinging their coins to the ground. He opens the cages and sets the birds free. He runs about chasing the cattle and the sheep and all their owners from the courtyard, all the while shouting, "Stop this! What have you done? Get these things out of here. You have turned my father's house into a marketplace. You've made it a den of thieves. Go out. Get out." You know, it sometimes takes a fresh eye to see just what we have done to the holy things of God, and to those things that are meant to help us meet God. He was angry. And you visualize him losing his temper. I wouldn't want to be on the other side of the bells. My friends, everything that Jesus rejected in the temple was put there at first with the best intentions. It was put there to help people who came to the temple to seek God's will for their lives and to thank him for his love. Yet he was wrong. What had started as a good thing had become an evil thing, and the temple had become a place that exploited the need for salvation rather than a place that furthered it. And I wonder if there are still today some things that provoke Jesus of that kind of anger. There are so many people who come to church not to listen for God's guidance and not to thank God, but because they think that if they come, somehow it will ensure them of God's blessings and that will protect them and guarantee that on the day of judgment, they will be on the right side, standing with the sheep instead of with the goats. They keep the law of God not because it represents God's guidance for our lives, but because they think that if they obey, they will win something. I do this for you, God, and you better do this for me. And I've already told you in my prayers what that is. Oh, I made it kind of sharp, I know. But some of you do it and you know it. Now let's even focus more. What do we need to cleanse from our lives? Has our faith become, like everything else, some kind of commercial transaction? It is the cross that takes care of everything. It is the love of God, his love for us and ours for him. The cross of Jesus saves us, not our rituals. The resurrection beyond that cross redeems us, not our inadequate obedience to it. That is the point of the dialogue that occurred between Jesus and the authorities after his rampage. When they ask him what sign he will perform to justify his behavior, and he replies, "Destroy this temple, excuse me, and in 3 days I will raise it up." No one understood his words. But later, after the resurrection, the disciples remembered them and understood. They understood Jesus was the temple, and that in him they meet God, and they talk to God, and experience God's love and forgiveness. They remembered how he touched people and spoke to them, how he fed the hungry and gave sight to the blind, how he put truth and justice in their right places and gave peace and joy to those who came near him. They remembered these things, they remembered his words, and they looked at his death and resurrection, and they knew that Jesus was the way and the truth and the life. What in your life or mine prevents us from knowing him? What's in the way on this third Sunday in our pilgrimage on the Lenten journey to Easter? Amen.